You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
No, she didn't. I'm Kim, Little Sister Martin. This is the Average Joe or the CEO, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Truth be told, I think that there aren't many black men who stand and tell the truth about the many social and economical issues that involve our community. However, there are black men who do educate and enlighten the world about the things that play out in African-American neighborhoods. Dick Gregory, Spike Lee, Reverend Al Sharpton, Jenks Morton, and Columbus's very own Kahari Inaharu are some of the black men who are taking a stand and speaking out. Now the truth has been told. This is what it is. Information and research that addresses the masses about the black community is full of one-sided biased facts. The real issues that affect the black community are rarely told. For example, many contributions that were given by African Americans are left out of our children's school books, leaving them unaware of how black families not only shop, but own the stores in the community. Also, the effects of what happens when children are raised in a fatherless home and the real truth about black men. This is what it is. This is Joe, our CEO. I wonder what the magazines say today. Most of our men are in jail. What? What is this one-sided junk? I wonder, what do black men really think? Are they guilty until proven innocent? What is the real truth about our black men? And what happens when a father's not there? Maybe I'll write my daddy a letter. I wish I could answer these questions, but I can't. I know what. I'm going to get me a black man that can answer all of these questions. A revolutionary, an activist who knows everything is accurate, who studies. That's exactly what I'm going to do. What's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Average Joe and the CEO. Today, my special guest is Mr. Jenks Morton. Hello, Jenks. Can you say hi to everybody?
Good evening, Kim, and thanks for having me on this wonderful Tuesday night out here. I'm sitting out on the balcony thinking about what we're going to go over tonight, so I'm excited.
All right. Well, before we start, because everybody needs to know, who is Jenks Morton? Let me give everybody a little brief bio about you. Jenks Morton is the founder of Yago Entertainment Group and LLC. He also established Give Us Free Products, Inc. He serves as the vice president of Jinx the Cat Productions and has been in the music productions for over 20 years. He was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and is a groundbreaking international award-winning documentarian. He is a teacher, a lecturer, a commentator, and a motivational speaker. He has covered workshops, seminars, served as keynote speakers at colleges, universities, prisons, conferences, churches, and community centers around the world. You always correct the misinformation that surrounds black men. He is also a family man and married to a beautiful woman by the name of Ava. Everyone, this is Mr. Jenks Morton.
Wow, that's the big bio.
You know what, Jenks? It was. You know, I was like running out of air. You know, trying to get it all in, and I still left some things out because you are one bad brother. So to start out, I want to know, what was the goal of your company, Yago? Can you give us a little history on that?
Well, Iago is just this deal that I put up. It's a big umbrella. The mission statement of my organization is the Christ-centered reconciliation and restoration of the black family. So that just takes me in a bunch of different lanes, so mm-hmm. from black male identity to fatherless homes to mentorship. It's just a bunch of things that these social trajectories that we get on if the family's broken. So
okay.
my mantra has been, you know, if we want to restore the community, we have to restore the neighborhood. You want to restore the neighborhood, you have to restore the family. And that is the key to, I believe, all of the kind of challenges that we face as a community.
All right. Okay. So I know your first documentary was What Black Men Think. What inspired you to write this documentary and to make this documentary?
Well, the concept is around what's called the castigation of black male identity, or in layman's terms, why do we think so bad about the brother?
Uh-huh.
And it had come to a head for me. I have a friend who had made a film, and in that film, the brother left his black wife for a white woman.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, that's just not the deal.
All right.
You know, if you know the statistics, I'm like, you know, brothers, they marry black women, and I'm talking the high 90th percentile. They 90% of black men who get married, they marry black women.
Okay, okay.
So, and I'm not saying that brother doesn't exist, but too often in our psyche, we take kind of the lowest common denominator of our experience, sometimes mm-hmm. the less desirable denominator of our experience, and then blanket it onto the whole group, and it puts everybody in this kind of nutshell. You know, we're the first ones to say black men aren't a monolith, but, you know, ask anybody on the street, are there more black men in jail or in college? And most people say jail, and it's just not true.
Right.
So go ahead.
I noticed that that was one of the things that you proved, that was not true. Can you give us the statistics of that?
Well, the numbers as we speak today, man, I'm in the process of shooting a sequel to that movie, so it's not fresh on my head, but I know the numbers. And this is what I challenge most people, you know, when somebody cites a source, cites a data, so statistic, give me a source, give me a year, give me a publication, give me something. Don't just sit around in a barbershop and say, you know, 70% of black men on the down low. It's crazy.
Right, because it's really not.
Yeah, but if you see that on, you know, every, you know, Madea movie or whatever, you know, it starts to become salient and resonate in your own consciousness. So in 2009, the Department of Education, National Center for Education Statistics, black men enrolled in post-secondary degree-granting institutions, non-duplicated headcount, is 1,236,443. All that's saying is 1.2 million brothers in college, and it ain't barber school, and they aren't counting them twice.
That's right, and that means they're not locked up, right?
yeah, well, and then the funny thing is with the jail, prison, the military institutions for the criminally insane,
mm-hmm.
and the home tether, the people who have that ankle bracelet. Put all of them together, the total's 841,000, but that's a duplicated headcount.
Okay.
So you're in Columbus, is that right?
Yes.
So you got Columbus City Police, right? If Columbus City Police arrest a young brother, put mm-hmm. him in a chicken wing, you know how they have him on the corner.
Right, right.
And then he gets convicted of, say, possession of marijuana, which is a federal offense, and he goes to the federal prison that year or the state prison that year, all three of those institutions count that brother as one.
Oh, wow.
Because they get paid off of.
Okay. So it makes it look like it's three times.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that's in every instance, and it might not be. You can't get them to give you the truth of what that duplicated headcount, but they do acknowledge that it's duplicate.
Okay.
So, but they won't say, like, this percent of brothers are a duplicated account. They just won't do that.
Okay.
So, but my point is, 1.2 million in college versus 841 in jail, and that's not even taken into consideration that most college students are ages 18 to 24.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that ratio, the number in college versus jail jumps up to about 5 to 1.
Right, because they did a count where they just counted everybody. Right, they didn't do age group separation.
And the big number is from the age. I think the youngest incarcerated was like 12. Something real, I mean,
wow.
All the way up to, like, you know, the dudes that are dead. I mean, 90 years old, dying in jail.
Okay.
And 90-year-olds typically aren't going back to college. They're just not doing it.
So, you got that right. They probably have lived the full part of their life at 90. So do you think there's a reason why society wants us to believe the worst about our black men?
I used to give this in one of my lectures, and it was one of the more challenging questions that was given to me. And what hurts me most in this juncture in our history is that how we think about ourselves. Black people just, we don't. Mm-hmm. We can't uplift one another for nothing, but we're the first ones to talk about the principles of hijama, but, you know, you can't even keep a family united in our community.
Right,
but
right.
This question was asked to me by, you know, one of those elder griots in a community, and he was like, have you wondered or ever postulated why the European society went, they didn't enslave the Indians, they didn't go get the Chinese, they didn't go get the Middle Easterners, they didn't even go get the Aztecs or the Middle American, South American folks.
Mm-hmm.
They went all the way back to Africa, got us, and brought them back. Now, there were some mechanisms in place around the slave trade that kind of made it convenient,
mm-hmm.
but the subjugation of black folks throughout the past 400 or 500 years, it's sinister,
mm-hmm.
and unrighteous and unholy, and really for the kind of the uplift and elevation of a identity that needs to construct their greatness based upon the subjugation of other people.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And we've bought into it. And that's what hurts me most.
And so now that we've bought into it, we've pretty much become, like, if we see that or we hear it, then we believe it. So we see on television that a black man leaves his black wife for a white woman. So we believe that that's what's really happening. And that's not truly what's happening.
Well, it's not that it happens,
it's not
most black men do. Most black men ain't leaving their wives for no white, I don't even want to say it like that, before a white woman. It happens.
But not to the magnitude that we believe it, that people were, you know, projecting it, that we believe.
Right.
Okay.
And think about the number of black men that you have seen in a dress on a Hollywood or small screen television screen or talked about on radio shows.
Right.
You know, I'm 48 years old, and I, to this day, have not been walking down the street and seen a brother in a dress. Now, I hear it happen, but I ain't seen it.
No, you got to turn on Atlanta Housewives, because, you know, that's another thing that degrades our, you know, degradates or whatever. I can't figure the word. But it just makes
denigrates
our men and, you know, and even our women to me. I mean, like, you can be what you want to be. I'm all for that, but... Mm-hmm. When you have it on television and you got a man telling a woman how to dress, what to put on, I kind of have problems with that because I'm a lady. I think I know what to wear and what looks good. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I have not really seen a lot of African-American men walking around in stilettos. I have not.
I ain't seen it. I have not seen one. And I've been in New York a whole bunch of times. Been to L.A. I have not seen a brother. I'm talking about broad daylight walking out. Now, if you go drive by the, you know, whatever, alternate club, you might see it, but I'm talking about like just broad daylight walking mm-hmm. down. I ain't seen that, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't seen, but I mean, there's just a litany of black men from Hollywood who have done that,
mm-hmm.
and what it does, it permeates your consciousness. It becomes it expands your perception of what is real.
Okay.
That's what movies do. That's why I use this medium, because I have the ability to expand the perception of what you believe to be as real, and then to show you what is the actual
what is
fact.
Truly real. Which that brings me to another point. You have Men to Boys, and that's about
mm-hmm.
African-American boys being raised without a father. You know,
I
watched that clip on YouTube, and you asked this question: can a mother or can a woman raise a man?
No, I didn't ask that question. I said, can a woman teach a boy to become a man?
Yes. Can a woman teach a boy to become a man? And
two
she said,
questions.
And she said, yes. And, mm-hmm. and as a woman, I believe that you can only teach a man a certain amount, and then they need a man to teach them.
Right.
Just like even with a young lady, as a woman, I can teach her how to be a woman, but I can't teach her what to see in a man, or, you know, she needs a man mm-hmm. role model.
Yeah, and I, one of the more phenomenal lines that I heard when I was doing, you know, the latest film, Dear Daddy, a woman told me that her father made her the woman that she is. It blew my mind that, you know, how to relate, how to have empathy, how to be patient, how to be tempered.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my mother was off the meter. My father was the one who taught me how to be a woman.
Wow.
And so, back on the other side, you know, gender ascension or identifying with that sex that you want to become, biologically, psychologically, sociologically, and spiritually, a woman can never cross the teacher board to cross the threshold to manhood. It just can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're just two different things.
Right.
And this narrative around, you know, and I understand the struggles of single mothers,
mm-hmm.
but this narrative is, you know, I've had women stand up and tell me, I don't care who you is, where you think you're from, Mr. Man, I'm this boy's mother and father. You're just wrong.
Oh, wow.
You're just wrong.
Uh-huh.
You're wrong.
Right.
And you won't accept the truth because you're hurt. And when they're hurt like that, they'll, you know, they have to come up a way of ratifying the choices that they've made to validate the outcomes of their lives. I get that.
Right,
but
right.
Your narrative is really doing more damage to this generation of boys who do not have positive male influences than your, you know, overarching narrative of assuming masculinity. You just can't do it.
It would just be hard as a woman, you know.
It's hard enough to be a woman, period.
Right, but I don't understand the male experience because I have not been in a male body to experience the things that males experience. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how. I mean, you do the best you can as a single parent. You know, some of us become single parents for different reasons and variations.
Mm-hmm.
But you
mm-hmm.
just do the best you can. But, you know, there should always, I think that's probably where the community came in. And, you know, you might have
right.
a grandfather or some older uncle or something that can take him fishing or, you know, and show him the things about being a man that are important to be. You know,
right.
a man
right.
or vice versa. Cause I know I've had some young men on my show or some men on my show. I ain't gonna call them young men. I've had men on my show who raised their daughters and they're raising their daughters and, you know, but they usually have a female in their daughter's life, be it their mother, their sister or, you know, because there's certain things. And I understand that the men totally get it. Like it's a certain stage when a young lady or their daughter gets a certain age that they can't even identify with her. So that's when the mother and the aunts and the sisters and stuff come in to help them out.
Right.
But we as
right.
women sometimes feel like we can just do it all, and that's not really the case.
Yeah, and that's the message of the world. You know, you all the women independent. I'm your superwoman. Stand on your own two feet. Don't depend on nobody in this world, including the black man.
Right.
It's crazy. It will set you up to be isolated, hurt, and alone forever. And that's the devil. That is nothing but the enemy. That is the great trick to make you feel like you are by yourself in this thing. And like I said, the system was set up for mothers and fathers. And every country I've been to around the world, except for Western society, has the memo that a child needs a mother and a father. It's just insanity to me. And it's not a black thing. This is a Western cultural thing over the past 45 years. That it's unbelievable. Unbelievable that.
Right, right. I mean, like I mean, I was looking at some of your statistics, and I mean, I don't really even have to look at those to see that. I mean, like, I am a single woman, you know, and I see it in us, like, you know, we don't need no man. I don't need this. I don't need that. But I got my own house, my own car and all that. But at the end of the day, we're still lonely. You know,
at the end of the day, you're sitting on my couch talking about I feel empty. You've got the job. You got the car. You got the house. You got the white picket fence. You got them 200 pairs of shoes, and you got that ugly orange Pomeranian, and you get on my couch and you go, I feel empty.
Yeah.
Because through our faith, the whole ball game is about your selfless interconnectivity with other people in the bounds of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sustains us, our ability to connect with other people. But yeah,
wow.
You want to take a Friday night. Because you know, you've made some bad decisions and you got bad men around, and you will get a blanket and a glass of wine and a book and say, that's my surrogate boyfriend.
Ain't that something? That's amazing. So do you think, like, with the single mothers and the sons, that could be why our sons, to a certain degree, some of our young men don't respect women? Because they're being
Absolutely.
Raised by their mother,
and
they've seen certain things in the household, and therefore
exactly
that
right.
lack of respect is there, and because they don't have a male figure to be like, hey, you don't talk to your mom like that.
Yeah, and well, I don't even think it's that. The book that I wrote is around unreconciled maternal anger. So that's basically saying little boys who don't have positive male influences in their lives have, you know, seated resentment towards their mothers. They just basically, mothers do things to boys when they get at a certain juncture to make them go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't deal with it in an adult fashion, they hold on to those resentments. And because, you know, the 11th commandment in the black community is thou shalt not challenge, correct, or confront thy mother, it represses itself. And so you get, you know, little Wayne or little Greasy or little Jeezy, whatever those boys, calling black women B's and H's when, you know, if they really, really had a reconciled
Well, I'm going to need you to hold that thought for me. TalkTamerRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversating AM. Stay right there. We're going to find out what little Wayze has been teaching our young children. Up next on TalkTamerRadio.com.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching at my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Well, that's the last of my leftover medications. I didn't need them, so I flushed them down the toilet.
Oh, no. If you flush your old meds down the drain, they may end up in our water supply and hurt the environment.
Well, then what should I do with them? Who are you, anyway?
I'm Pill Bottle Phil from Illinois' Prescription Pill and Drug Disposal Program. You should go to the Illinois EPA's website at epa.state.il.us and click on the medication disposal link. There, you'll find lots of information about how to properly dispose of your old medications.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Say what, what?
Jenks says that we have to get straight on the stats about black males, because what we believe about the numbers informs what we believe about ourselves.
I know it has led to our division. We are no longer, we are the most highly disjointed race of all. Men have internalized the message, women have internalized the message, and we look at each other very, very suspiciously.
All right, Jenks. You know what? You were just saying before, you know, we took that little quick intermission about our young men not respecting each other because of like the music and things that they're listening to and how it perpetuates and breaks down our community as far as their concept as women. You know, it's okay to call a woman a bee now.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking about. You know, like I said, the Lil Wayne's, Lil Jeezy's, Soulja Boy, all of those, how they disrespect women, I think is probably displaced because they don't have healthy adult relationships with their own mothers. Because if you do, you're out there, you know, you're not letting that stuff fly like the way they do.
Right.
And if they had a positive paternal influence or father, you know, and that's just one of the old, you know, guards of our community, man. You just don't do that. You just don't.
Right.
But, you know, the space that I navigate from is just like I'm speaking Mandarin Chinese because the lens of their experience just does not lend that kind of, you know, moral or really from the psychological, the super id, super ego. They don't have that type of boundary. It's just, it makes no sense to them.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You know, when we're talking about, you know, the fathers that aren't present in the homes, then you went into a documentary called Guppy, Guilty Until Proven Innocent. And that brings into light how, like, there are men who do pay child support and all they want to do is be able to see their children, but the court systems and everything are stacked up against them. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean, what made you find that out? Was it because when you realized some of the men may want to be with their children and then can't because of the court system or the situation or the woman that they had the children by? Or
yeah, well, back in What Black Men Think, the first movie, there was just a staggering piece of data that came out, and I want to say it was 67%. No, it's actually 72% of black men pay their court-ordered child support.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the social sciences side, if a man has unobstructed, unrestricted, and untethered access to his children, he will show up.
Okay. So
that means if he doesn't have to jump over hoops and hurdles and barriers, he'll be there. So there was a disconnect that was going on in my mind, because this narrative was coming out from a lot of the fatherhood organizations. They were saying things, they were, deadbeat dad and dead broke dad and all that. I'm like, well, dead broke don't work because they pay.
And
deadbeat doesn't work because they must have obstacles. And I had this professor at Wake Forest tell me something. Again, I have these kind of jaw-dropping moments in this journey I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
And she said this, and I just, when she said, I was like, man, that don't make sense, but I hear you. She said, most men who've gone through, the system, have not walked away from their children's lives. They've been pushed away. And I was like, I can feel that. I mean, right. I was like, all right, I get that. I get that, because I, as a father of a daughter from a previous failed marriage, I don't see her as much as I want to. And it's because as I'm doing the work out here, I have very, very challenging times navigating, mm-hmm. With her mother to, I've become a second class citizen in my own daughter's life. That
wow.
The ultimate authority in my daughter's world is her mother, mm-hmm. then her mother's mother, mm-hmm. then her mother's sister, then a teacher and some other folks, and then, oh yeah, by the way, my relationship with her is great, but I'm talking about authority figures in her life.
Right.
Yeah, and those are the things that, in a woman's eyes, it might be saying, well, if you really wanted to be with me, you would navigate those, but in a guy's eyes, it's like, all right, man, I'm about sick of going through this stuff. I'm not dealing with this no more.
I ain't jumping through no fire hoop. You got me jumping through a hoop, then you light it with gasoline. Now yeah. Jump through.
Right. Yeah, well, and the thing of it is that you want to fight for your child. However, it puts you in this position as a man where you have no autonomy, no decision-making criteria, no power, no mm-hmm. authority. And that's like walking into a ring with Mike Tyson. You can say, I got a $20 million check, but I got to really, really think about, do I want to take that left hook?
Right. Am I going to live to cash that check? Right.
There could be brain damage and all kind of great damage done to me just from one punch.
Right.
And most dudes like, nah, you can keep that $20 million. I'm not even dealing with Mike Tyson.
Right. So that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons why, fathers do kind of pull away, because they get basically beat down in the court system and then just dealing right. with all the hoops. I know here in Columbus, child support and visitation is separate, which, I don't quite get that. You go to one courtroom and they decide what you pay, and then you got to go to another courtroom to decide whether or not you can see your child. To me, it just all yeah. seems like it's a money thing.
Think about the language of this thing. Think about the language. And the money is what I do in Guppy, is to show that. And I said this, long years ago, that there's people and principalities that have a vested interest in and are compensated to misinform you so they can mismanage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say principalities, I'm talking from my faith-based side.
Yeah.
They're sinners. They are sinners to the child support system, child and family court system, that has no interest in uniting children and families. They're interested in dividing you, pitting you against each other
right.
to extract money to sustain themselves.
Right.
But my larger point was, just think about that. One is called childhood, and the other one's visitation. You turn a father into a visitor.
Visitor, right, right.
A visitor.
How you be a visitor that, some, and, of your own baby? Yeah.
Yeah, and think, on the other side, if a father says, "I'm here babysit my child," women just cave in on it. You don't babysit.
Yeah.
You're parents.
Your daddy.
Yeah.
You're supposed
parent.
To do that. What
you're supposed to do
about?
That? But right. on the other side, and like I said, I don't think the systems and women really understand how that stuff resonates with a man's ears, his soul, his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm caught in between a rock and I, that's a lose lose to me. I made the mistake of tweeting maybe 2 years ago when my son said, "Man, I'm at home babysitting." These women lit me up.
You ain't babysitting. You watching your own baby.
You watch your own child. You parenting. But I was like, okay, I'm sorry. It's like babysitting. I'm sorry. I messed that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we can put our mouth on some brothers and we can rip y'all up now. We rip y'all to sheds. It's like a machete going across you. Quit.
Yeah, I won't be tweeting that no more.
I know that's right. Okay.
Yeah, and the tone was like, I'm stuck here babysitting. It was what it was. It's a dude. It's like, I'm taking care of my baby. I'm watching my baby. It's my boy. I love him. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I used the wrong word. Babysit.
Look, bottom line, he got a lot of energy right now, and I'm watching him.
Yeah, I'm watching him. I'm trying to make sure he don't jump off the edge of the balcony. That's my job.
That's all. And he wearing me out because, he got more energy than I do. So yeah. Sometimes it feel like I'm babysitting my baby, but it's my baby and I'm sorry. Everybody, he's sorry. So let me ask you this. It said, I read something where you have a, we need to talk. And you went to the south side of Chicago and you said that 10 women did something to change your life.
Yep.
What was it that changed your life on the south side of Chicago with the 10 ladies?
So in our conversation so far, you know, I'm giving you data, statistics, and research, and blah, blah, blah. And too often, you know, in this kind of sphere of academia, it's sterile. You don't have to really touch it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can sit here and tell you that 82.3% of African-American children born since 1990 will live in a home without their father. That's sterile. Wow. You know, it's just data. It's,
yeah. You don't feel it. You don't feel that.
You don't have to feel it. I had to sit down with 10 women, and they basically just let loose what, you know, the hurt of growing up without their father and then all of these just less than desirable choices and how they impacted their lives.
Wow.
And I'm talking from loss of virginity, hyper promiscuity, multiple abortions, lesbianism. It was just all kind of stuff in there. And all of, the beautiful thing about us, these women are real, real reconciled with their faith. So they're transparent. They know that that's their testimony.
Uh-huh.
But the other side was that they let it loose. They let this thing fly on camera.
Right.
For the benefit of other people. And I hadn't, up until that juncture, I had kind of refused to work with women. I just wouldn't do it because women are just complex. And I just, you know, at the time, I didn't believe that I had the skill set to really deal with it. I believe that in my heart. I was like, you know, women would call, like, can you please do something with a girl? I'd be like, I'm just not the one. You call somebody else because I'm just, you know, I'm daddy on steroids. But I had to plug into my own empathy and quiet space to learn how to support the hurt that I believe many, many women are carrying around in their lives. And the origins of their pathology is the absence of their father or the broken home.
Okay.
So how it all connects back together, the woman who's tearing the man apart in Guppy in Guilty Until Proven Innocent, my money says if she had a father, she wouldn't rip a dude like that.
Right, right.
The woman who's looking to get validation from a man, by, you know, wearing the short skirt with the fishnet stockings and that blonde hairdo, is daddy. It's dad. The woman who is, you know, doesn't trust herself. The woman who sits on the couch and says, I feel empty. It's all daddy. So that's how all of this thing kind of came full circle. So.
Okay. So basically, a lot of the ladies who have been raised without children are really just hurt. We wounded and hurt ladies. And hurt people.
Yeah, hurt people. And like I said, for me, when you look at the kind of evidence around what happens to young women who are raised without their fathers, and I'm talking about their esteem, their identity, their choices are like, so behavior problems and promiscuity, physical contact with young boys, even early onset menses and secondary sexual attributes. So if your father's not around, you develop quicker to attract a mate.
Wow.
It's just a whole litany of things that I believe leads a person to make some, again, less than desirable choices that hurt them.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because that father has just not been there to really protect them from, you know, this world and protect their identity to a point to where they can mature and have a relationship with our faith.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm a faith-based young lady, too, woman. So, you know, I know there was Adam and Eve. And I know there was a purpose for that, you know,
right.
And that a man definitely has a very strong role in a life for women, for their wife, for their children, you know,
right.
All of that. I mean, like to be the protector. I mean, I know that we were made from the rib for a reason, you know.
Well, this is where women get it twisted. I mean, this is the world that will twist you upside. You really, really read that passage in Genesis. It didn't say that the woman needed a man. It said the man needed a woman. But most women walk around think they need a man. That's the world. That's the setup. That's what will make that you need a man to make you feel whole, that you need a man to fill a void in your life, that you need a man to do anything for you. It's unrighteous. It's unholy and it's unfair to put that kind of responsibility on another individual. And I was talking with a television station earlier, and this lady just could not wrap her mind around this. I was just telling her, when you look about relationships or marriage, marriage was not designed to make you happy. Most people don't get that. To me, and again, I'm speaking Mandarin Chinese.
Say marriage. So when people get, because the fantasy is, I get married, I'm gonna be happy. We're gonna have a fence, and we're gonna roll off into the sunset, and everything gonna be lovely, peaches and cream.
That's Hollywood. That ain't reality, and that's certainly not my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a little bit of your clip early on before this interview, but I teach women now what love is. Most women do not understand what love is.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger definition that I get from most women is it turns out to just to be lust.
Uh-huh.
But love is the selfless servitude to someone or something devoid of the lustful desire for reciprocity.
Okay. So in layman terms, so give it to us in layman terms for those who
love is a selfless service. It's selfless. It's not about you.
That's right.
Selfless servitude.
Okay.
I'm serving someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Devoid of the lustful desire for reciprocity. So it's absent lust, and it's absent I'm doing this to get something from you.
Okay.
So my least favorite holiday is Valentine's Day, because that's the big setup. I get you some flowers. You gonna give me some?
Oh yeah.
I get you. Take you out to dinner. You gonna give me some?
You're right.
I bought you them chocolates. You gonna give me some? I bought you that sexy outfit so I can get some.
Right. Right.
That's reciprocity. That's
mm-hmm.
not love.
Well,
I
did a show, and it was called the Valentine's Day Massacre, where we kind of broke that down. You know, mm-hmm. about Valentine's Day, where it even came from, and you know,
mm-hmm.
all of
yeah.
the sickness and where it came from, because you shouldn't have to have one day. You know, by buying candy or gifts to show somebody that you love them, you know,
well, if you do,
or
if
for
you,
a favor, you know, it should
well,
just
if
be.
You're doing it, if you're doing it for a reason, you do stuff. I mean, you know, I take calls. I deal with women all over this country. I don't want nothing from them. All I want from them is the best outcome for their life. I don't
mm-hmm.
want nothing back. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
If I can give you a little bit and you take it and run with it and become closer and more mature in our faith, go do that thing, girl. I don't want nothing. I really, really do. And that's selfless servitude.
All
and
right.
it's devoid of, I don't want nothing.
Okay.
But,
well, hold on to that often. Selfless servitude. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. We go where you go. Check us out on WCRS-FM 98.3 and 102.1. And also on your smartphone or tablet. Go to TalkTainmentRadio.com for the podcast and box. Listen live and participate by calling 1-877-932-9766. Stay right there. We're going to talk more about what women need to know about love. Up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Increase CDC presents the 8th Annual Micro Entrepreneur Awards. This signature event recognizes outstanding Central Ohio entrepreneurs. You can show your support by attending on April 19th at Columbus Christian Center Church, 2300 North Cassidy Avenue. For more information or to promote your company at the event, call Increase CDC at 614-476-1758 or visit www.increasecdc.org.
Are there hidden sex words that impact your brain? Are there secret images and symbols that manipulate and control your child's mind and behavior? Why are so many youth unable to resist the destructive sexual messages beamed into their brain without them knowing they are being manipulated? Do you want answers? Get the new book, Sex Code War, by Tahari and Ahara, coming soon.
Do you need to advertise your business or product? What better way to reach your audience than with the oldest form of media that can't be turned off? Outdoor advertising. Matrix Media Services specializes in getting your message seen on billboards, on buses, on movie screens, and more. Need assistance with market research or help developing your media strategy? Talk to the experts at Matrix Media Services, who will help you cut through the clutter. Call us at 1-800-589-6674, 1-800-589-6674, or visit www.matrixmediaservices.com.
Drop School Day students community, high 7 the classroom, 1,000 America attendance. Quit variety, they have reasons. Job like to get, baby raise a, relative help an elderly. Happening local on, it's a level. Catastrophe, it's a national.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day. It doesn't make sense to us either. We can keep students in school. Visit boostup.org and take the first step. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
I'm a champion. Realize checks mechanism.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. It's not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green.
Green, green, green. It's your home. It's your dream. Radon test and living healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
Testing for radon is easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
I put out way too much trash to think about recycling. I just don't get it.
Some things are very obvious, Maria.
Learn the difference between trash and recycling and more on our website, yougottabekidding.org. Visit yougottabekidding.org today.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Say what, what?
The one thing I want to say to the camera is, this is to our president. President Obama remarks often that it's been two Father's Days in a row, Father's Day years in a row, where he admonished fathers, and especially African-American fathers, to step up to the plate. Well, I'm an ex-baseball player, almost went pro years ago. So my analogy is, when the fathers step up to the plate, we get a fastball right between the eyes.
Wow, wow. Okay, so Jenk, she was talking to me about what love is, and that is selflessness. So you must be ready to serve when you think about being in love, basically.
Yeah, and I try to, you know, coach to say, you know, if your emotions are involved in that thing, it's probably going to be in the wrong space. It's a conscientious decision to serve someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all marriage is. It's two people serving each other. And that's scripture, and that's the clinical side too. Is selfless servitude is the thing that has been taken away from the narrative about relationships for, you know, just since this kind of permeation of mainstream media. That what can he do for you? What can you get out of it? Well, you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a setup. It's a setup to be hurt and be let down. No individual, no person on this earth can fill that void. They just it's unrighteous to have that type of expectations, to put that responsibility on another individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unholy.
Right. I mean, you know, and I think sometimes, do you think that when people do put that, anytime you depend on somebody like that, then you're going to be let down, because it's an impossible feat for them to be able to, like you said, fill that void. And sometimes we're looking for that void to be filled in all the wrong places. What's that song? you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. So,
oh wow, you went way back. Okay. Wow,
you ain't know I was that deep, did you?
You're that old.
What you talk about? Looks like wine, you know, just getting better.
I hear you. Good gracious.
But sometimes, you know, we can do that as both women and men, but women especially, you know, just, you know, trying to find Mr. Right. And then we have in our mind what Mr. Right is. And Mr. Right sometimes can be Mr. Right now, as opposed to Mr. Right. You know, I talked to
somebody. The challenge that we do, what we do is we paint this, just think of a picture, call it the Mona Lisa minus the Mona Lisa. So in that picture, there's a background, there's a car, there's a home, there's a job. There's a fence, there's all of these material things, and there's a big blank spot for this void that you're trying to fill. And you're going to stick people in that space, trying to fill up the Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And what I share with women and men is that the only person that fits in that void in your life is Christ. That's it. And until you understand, until you really, really believe and understand that, you're going to keep sticking stuff in, and nothing ever fits perfectly. But sometimes you'll shave the edges. Uh-huh. Sometimes you stretch it out because it's too small. Uh-huh. All of these things trying to put something in that void, on that painting, that doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm. And so it's about, and I believe truly that once you get God in your life for real and you have a relationship with him, then that void is filled, and then you can find out that you can be an extra in somebody's life, because then you begin to love yourself like you should be. Mm-hmm. Because that's the perfect love when you know, have the love of God in you and you know he loves you back. That's a perfect love.
Right.
You know, I think that might be helpful for ladies to get and to grasp. Because back in the day, you used to have to go to church. You know, that was like part of the rules, where now a lot of people don't go and a lot of people aren't spiritually sound. And like you said, they're coming, you know, marriage and black communities is at an all-time low. You know, why do you think that is? And divorce is at an all-time high, like from 40 years ago.
That's easy. You got to come up with a harder question than that. the question is basically, why do we have the highest divorce rate?
Why are we not getting married?
The highest single rate, the highest out-of-wedlock birth rate, the highest multiple parentage of multiple children rates.
Like we got a whole bunch of baby daddies and baby's mamas.
Yeah, if you got two kids, 58% of y'all got two different baby mamas or two different baby dads.
Yeah. I mean,
58%? Really? 60%? Really? The reason why is because we're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
We just want what we want.
You get divorced because you think it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
You cheat on your spouse because you think it's about you. Mm-hmm. You go from relationship to relationship to relationship because you think it's about you.
Okay.
You don't get married because you think it's about you. it's that simple. And sometimes, you know, again, the social sciences want to overcomplicate and overanalyze this thing or overintellectualize it. It's really not. This is peanut butter and jelly time.
Well, you know what, Jenks? This is what's so funny. I was talking to some of my girls today, and they were like, we need to have a subject about why men cheat. And so that's why I chuckled when you said what you said. It's because it's about them, you know, and it's the selfishness. So, because I think sometimes we as women want to find out why, and like there should be like this great answer, like that's going to, like the sky is going to open and we're going to hear them sing it. But it's because they're selfish.
But the thing of it is like, I won't let it just go to that narrative or just really just like pinning the blame on black men. Here you go, ladies. You want to, okay, we got that one. Move on to the next subject. Men are selfish, so are you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just have not been trained in the constructs of a family of what selfless servitude is. But here it is. You really want to put a woman on her heels, ask her these three questions. Sequiatum, I forgot my Latin. Sequitur in sequence. How old were you when you lost your virginity? How many men have you had sex with? And how many abortions have you had?
Wow.
That'll knock them. You want to have that conversation. And those are all three selfish choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And the real, real narrative that I want to interject with, this is from an older black woman that I did not understand as a man. I did not know as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Most women... black women, I don't know about the mother cultures, but saved or unsaved, rich or poor, the instant that you laid down with the man for the first time outside of marriage,
mm-hmm.
first time you did it,
mm-hmm.
in your mind, a little buzzer went off and tells you that this thing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And every other time you did it after that was trying to go back and cover up the mistake you made the first time.
Wow. Wow.
That's self. That's self-pride and ego.
You know, I as a woman, I think sometimes we do certain things and you know, you end up because of the heat of the moment. And I do believe that we have soul ties. You know, like you be tied to a person. Like when you lay down mm-hmm. with them, then you like tied to that person. I don't think, you know, like sometimes women try to say, oh, shoot, it's just a booty call. Like they try to be like the fellas, it's a booty call. But at the end mm-hmm. of the day, if that was the case, then they wouldn't be wondering why he ain't called me, why he ain't take me to dinner, you know, why he this or why he's that. And he wouldn't be tripping. Right. And he wouldn't be tripping when he see her with somebody else, too. So I think, you know, sex or whatever. Now they have just made it because it's on television and, you know, like people think they can do it without feelings, and feelings do get involved, you know, and when feelings get involved, then, you know, sometimes you can take it to a whole nother level where, you know, you can't even, some people just straight up go crazy, James. You know, they do. They just lose it.
If you really understand that it should be reserved for the confines of marriage, sexual congress, then you really understand why all the other nutty stuff happens afterwards.
Right.
You did it in the wrong. It's like I went to the Chinese buffet looking for, you know, Indian food.
Mm-hmm. But you ate everything.
But you ate all the Chinese of it and got heartburn.
Right.
And wonder why, you know. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to put Indian. Call it vegetarian. I was supposed to eat vegetarian today. You went to the Chinese buffet where they had all kind of steak, shrimp, and everything. But you knew what you were doing when you walked through the door. You knew what you was doing.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why.
But it's the Chinese chef's fault because you're sitting in the bathroom with stomach pain.
Right, right.
That's how it turns out. It's the black man. Why did they cheat? Why can't he? And this, you know, and then even the brothers. Why she did all of that? Because you didn't do it at the right. You didn't go into the right restaurant.
Pretty much. You know, mm-hmm. So when we talk about cheating, then, you know, it's the ladies, too. You have to accept responsibility for women who allowed a man to cheat with you.
Let's start like this.
Yeah.
If you ain't married, it ain't cheap. Try that hat on. That'll fry your noodle for a minute. Try that hat on.
Right.
If you're not married, it's not cheap.
He's not cheating if you're not married. That's kind of like the basketball wives that ain't wives, but they call them wives. Yeah. So if you say it long enough, then you believe it that he cheating, but you ain't married, so he ain't cheating.
Yeah, it ain't. Or you ain't cheating. If you ain't married to her brother, she can't be cheating.
Right.
That's too hard of a construct mm-hmm. because the devaluation of marriage, the devaluation of self, and again, you kind of, you know, danced around it, but you know, this hypersexuality that's portrayed in the media is all a setup to keep you hurt, lame, and broke,
mm-hmm.
separated from one another, and mm-hmm. divided.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. That's one of the things that I'm thankful for with the show, that I can bring the brothers on to try to, you know, bridge some of these gaps that people, you know, and some of these barriers that, you know, the media and mainstream is trying to make us believe. So let me ask you this. What does it take to be a man?
I use the 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is for the women, and I'll come back and tell the men what it means.
Okay.
But for women, this is what you should be looking for, and this is how you differentiate a male from a man. And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the one that they read at those weddings all the time, is on the napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Love is kind, love is patient, love is slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
Love is never jealous, never rejoices in itself, never lifts itself up, never it rebukes evil, rejoices in the truth, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just take out the word love and put in the word man. A man is kind. A man is gentle. A man is patient. A man is slow to anger. A man rejoices in the truth. He rebukes evil. Those mm-hmm. are the attributes. And if you really understand that, when you're sitting across the dinner table, you can pick a man apart real fast without having to think like a man. That's thinking from a faith-based perspective.
Okay. Yeah, because that think like a man, act like a lady. I mean, you know, I'm like, okay. you know.
Yeah, whatever. I want women to think like women. I don't even know how this thing got legs. I really don't understand that whole movement, but it is what it is.
But that's what's so funny, because, like, we bought into it. Some of us bought into it, bought the book, started believing it, you know, started acting on it.
I'm like, this thing just won't stop.
Right. Right. And I saw the previews, you know, the girl says, I don't go out for dates if a guy doesn't open the car door and he drives off, but he comes back, you know, and all that's funny, but in the same token, it's like disrespectful all the way around, you know, so I think a lady need to be a lady. Too much, we're not being ladies. Okay, so break it down for the men.
What it means to be a man is to put yourself last, selfless servitude.
Mm-hmm.
Put your wife, put your children, put your community, your neighbor, everything comes before you, selflessly.
Okay, okay.
Without bitterness, angst, resentment, hate, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You throw yourself on the sword for everybody except you. Put yourself last, and everything falls into place.
Okay, all right. So if you put yourself last, then everything will work out. That to me sounds like, you know, somebody, if they really love you, that's what they will do.
But I'm saying, if you have a man and a woman putting themselves last, both, the biggest argument is who says thank you the most during the course of a day.
Right, right. You know, I heard fellas tell us that sometimes, you know, we want to make a man and we have, you know, all these things that we expect from men. And yet, you know, when they expect things from us, they can't get it because we have like unrealistic expectations and that we are selfish. Right. It's a me thing. So I guess we all need to check out 1 Corinthians 13:4.
Yeah. And I really coach women on this thing. All right. So they misinterpret my scripture, and it makes me nuts that they'll use the scripture about being unequally yoked.
Uh-huh.
Which is just wrong. I mean, it's just wrong the way they use it. That scripture is actually talking about being unequally yoked to a believers to non-believers, and it's more so in the confines of the church. They use it and be like, I'm not going to date a man who's not on my level. Well, let me put it like this. Oprah Winfrey has a level.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates has a level.
Right.
If that's what you want to do, through achievement, through accolades, and through accomplishment, you've got a level.
Mm-hmm.
If those two were to say, I'm a date on my level, they date no one.
Right. Right. Right.
You understand?
Yeah. You cannot make it any clearer than that. But before
Steve Harvey had this little round table discussion with these women from Atlanta that made me want to pull out what little hair I have left.
Oh, man.
But I can't date a man who, I got an MBA. He should have an MBA. Really?
Right.
Well, you need to go look at the labor's data, the Department of Labor's data on black men. Because most black men who are making over six-figure incomes are not MBA.
Okay.
They're entrepreneur CEOs. Well, yeah, the big one that just blew my mind was waste management. That was up there. Construction work, up there.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know if they were hauling trash or they own a trash company, but that's six figures. And I hate to use that because what I'm doing is reflexive response
right.
to their construct of success.
Well, we got about 30 seconds, Jake. So I want you to tell us real quickly about your future works, how we can get your films. What we need to do to get you, Jenks. What do we need to do?
Everything's at whatblackmenthink.com, www.whatblackmenthink.com. My newest film is a sequel to the first film, and I'll leave your callers with this or your audience with this. Think about this. What percent of black men drop out of high school? And go with your instincts, because most black people say 50%. The actual number is 9.6%.
All right.
And this is how we don't know nothing about each other, things that keep us divided, things that we see the stereotype before we see each other, and play right into the devil's hand.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenks, for being on the show. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. Until next time, deuces.
This is the Average Joe or CEO, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. I'm Kim, Little Sister Martin.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.